Tommy Allen has a lot on the go. He's the man behind Alto Solar, which specializes in the design and development of solar products and systems off-grid, on-grid, portable, and hybrid. I should know because a few months ago, I climbed Kilimanjaro, which is totally off-grid, and I needed to charge my mobile phone. So I relied on Alto Solar's remote charger. It was amazing. It was awesome. They said it couldn't be done. Charging isn't all that great on the mountain, but I certainly got by and I had power to spare. So from backpacks to eco resorts to being off-grid, Tommy Allen is up next. Hi, Tommy. Thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about your background and how you started Alto Solar.
All right. Well, I'm an electrical engineer. I studied electrical engineering at the University of Western Ontario, graduated 2003, and then I went worked on super yachts for a little while as an engineer, traveling around the world. So not a typical engineering job, but I just caught wind of it right before I graduated. And then after I traveled around and saved up some money to pay off my student loans and whatnot, then I came back to Canada and did some work in the energy field, doing control system design and product design for actually the fossil fuel industry. But my background is in solar. My father is one of the pioneers in solar in Canada. He's been operating a solar manufacturing company since 1981 here in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. And so I've been around it my whole life, from when he first had his workshop in home. Then I was born and my mom kicked him out, made him get a factory so I could have a bedroom. And growing up, I would be playing around there all the time. My first job when I was 16 was building solar panels and all the different solar hardware and pumps, anything associated with these solar thermal systems. So although later on, once I was an engineer, I did some non-solar work, it was really valuable to open my eyes to the bigger picture of things. The yachts were great to see how like everything works in a contained unit out at sea. Then right. the my experience in the fossil fuel industry for a local company, that was also really helpful to get a sense of where the bulk of our energy is generated and how you can achieve some efficiencies there. But then that led me back to working for my father's company as an engineer, doing some product design, system design, bit of everything really. And then I wanted to go off and do my own thing. I didn't want to work for my father anymore. He's a great mentor, great teacher, but I had my own ideas and things that would sometimes we'd butt heads. So that actually led me to go work with Halifax Solar City for a bit. When that first started, the energy director there needed some assistance launching the program. So I was the guy to help launch the first Solar City program. And then that led me to working with NSCC Applied Research when they got a multi-million dollar research grant for renewable energy with a high emphasis on solar. So I was the key guy to jump on board that train. 4 years after that, that's when I started Alto Solar. In 2018, I started Alto Solar. I just had, by that time, developed enough ideas and knowledge on how to do things and then wanting to do certain things my way or just have some more independence. So I launched Alto Solar, and part of the motivation also for that, interestingly, was so I'm also a musician. And I was performing at the Halifax Jazz Festival, and next to the stage on a beautiful Saturday afternoon was a noisy generator to power the speakers. And naturally, I just don't like that sound or the smell. Yeah. I want to hear the music. But, and also I'm thinking, well, there's other ways to do that. And coincidentally enough, I think it was that week, 1 or 2 weeks after that, I was playing a charity event at the Halifax Commons. And also same thing, beautiful Saturday, sun shining, noisy generator next to the stage. And I'm thinking, because I'm surrounded by renewable energy technology with my job, thinking there's totally a better way to do this, solar generator. So I applied for some funding to develop my own solar generators and was successful. And that led to the development or the start of my company. And then it's been kind of ongoing ever since. And did some musical events, but also just gradually realized that's a small niche market. I had to put on the business hat, not just the engineering hat that likes to do cool, fun right. stuff. I need to think as a business owner, how do I generate revenue?
Well, that's the joy of being an entrepreneur, especially in this business too.
Yeah, so that's the gist of it. And since I've, I guess that's been, about five, almost 6 years now. And yeah, things have been going very well. It's obviously a great time for solar here in Nova Scotia, but also around the world. So it's great to have the background that I have, having been in solar pretty much since I was born, but then also to get some strong technical foundations with my engineering degree and engineering experience to then go off and do my own thing. And yeah, as I say, that's led to a variety of solar generation projects, from little portable solar generators for cottages or homes or backup power RVs to full-on design of a off-grid eco resort in the Bahamas. So nice and everything in between.
Awesome. So there's an interesting, you know, there's an increasing demand for niche off-grid battery storage. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Because it's, you know, you were mentioning about super yachts and about, these compact, you know, or RVs even, you know, it's, they need to have some battery storage that's off-grid.
Yes and no. It's kind of a convenience thing. And also Elon Musk has done a great job of making batteries sexier than they've ever been.
He did, yeah.
So there's isn't really too much new, although lithium ion batteries have been making great progress and costs have been coming down to allow people to afford, not always, because it's still expensive, generally speaking, but it does make these conveniences, modern day conveniences that people like to have, such as being able to make their own coffee, a cup of coffee, if they're in their RV or boat somewhere out in the wilderness off grid. Same with if you're in have an off grid cottage, people like their conveniences, coffees and devices, mm-hmm. charging their phones. So there's a little opportunity right there. And again, Elon Musk has made batteries very sexy. There's a whole wave and finally a stronger community sense of urgency towards renewable energy adoption. I've been around it for decades, but really only in the past, 10 years has it kind of become cool. And then with that, greater adoption, greater economies of scale of production of these products, and then making everything gradually a little bit more accessible financially so that mm-hmm. someone has an RV or cottage or boat, whatever, they can install a little system, or if they have more money, get a little bit more fancy to, I don't know, run their Starlink and big screen TVs and
right.
heat pumps and whatnot. And again, all the way up to, say, a full-on eco resort where they're endeavoring to power everything, all the island's infrastructure, water makers, air conditioning, 100% with solar power, with the backup generator, but the design criteria is to aim for 100% solar power. But of course, you never know what Mother Nature is going to throw at you. So it's good to have some backup source.
Well, when someone is, how do you determine how much energy is needed for charging off the grid? Let's say, you know, if you had a cottage or an RV, and you like, how do you determine how much they need? Because they can have too many panels or not enough.
Sure.
You know, and it's probably the other way around of not having enough panels to charge everything up.
Yeah, and that's a great question, and that's the primary question I'll ask anybody that is endeavoring to do anything off-grid, whether it's small, medium, large. Mm-hmm. What do you want to power? What are your objectives? And then how long do you want to power that? Then, okay, do you have a backup energy source? Are you okay with putting a small system in and potentially running out of energy? Or having a backup generator then boost, bump up the energy, the battery energy if it gets low? Or do you need to size the system larger because you have very critical energy needs and you can't afford to lose power? So I'll typically send out a worksheet.
Yeah.
Not so much questionnaire. I just have a template energy worksheet with a whole bunch of appliances and estimated power consumption, estimated runtime. But this is going to vary for every single person and every appliance. So I kind of leave it up to them. I say the better idea you can give me of your energy needs by filling this worksheet out to the best of your ability, the more accurate we can be in sizing a system for you to meet your goals. If some of the information is unclear, then there's nothing I can really do about that other than I can say at the end of the day what we can typically expect from a solar system and then how much energy you could store in this battery bank. And approximately how long that might last you, but you never know what Mother Nature is going to do totally, but I can overall do some fairly good estimation of the energy that can be produced. It's up to the individual to determine how that energy is used, and I have no control of that, so I just try to work with them. It tends to be a bit of an educational stepping stone for everybody, because most of us are not aware of the energy we consume. We're pretty fortunate to have such energy ignorance, to be honest. And so it's a bit of a learning curve for everyone, and a bit of a, you know, for some people, it's a bit of a nuisance to go through that. People are busy. They don't want to look at all their appliances and think about, how much do I use this? But if you do that, then it helps to really narrow down what is a suitable system and then go from there. And then the next step is, do you want to aim for it to be 100% solar powered? Do you want to have some backup power from a generator?
Well, that's the thing. Like, do you want to have propane stove? Like maybe you have, you know, you want to have a propane fridge if you're in an RV, or a propane electric stove, so, or even your cottage. So you kind of have to supplemental power sources, I guess, would be involved, right?
100%. And I tend to recommend folks who are going off grid or are forced to, because they already are and power lines are too far away, to look at alternative energy options, especially for heating and cooling. Yes, propane and or firewood. Those are excellent choices, because if you're trying to rely on the solar system 100%. For, you certainly can, but now you're likely going to have to double, triple, or quadruple or more the size of the solar array, the solar size of the solar battery bank, and then the price just goes up, and now it's no longer financially viable. So it's just trying to find that sweet spot of what do you need, what can you get away with, what else can you use to get you through the day without spending 100,000 $1,000+ on a solar battery system.
Right. You were recently talking about you had finished a project in the Caribbean that was, it was an eco resort. And tell me a little bit, or tell us everyone, you know, how, what was involved in the planning there, and, you know, how to build a reliable system that can sustain storms even. But what was involved in that eco resort?
Sure. So it's ongoing. The bulk of the design work is complete, but this is a remote island with no infrastructure. So they're pretty much starting from ground zero. So there's lots of moving pieces. So to get to the first few steps to hone in on a design for the respective homes, beach club, boathouse, and then a centralized system that produces the grid to interconnect all of these, as well as to power some auxiliary loads such as water makers, and in the case of this particular eco resort, to help charge their electric yachts and electric boats. So cool. It's pretty fancy, yeah. Fancy resort. But so again, the first step was, well, what are the regulatory requirements? What's the standards and codes that we need to comply with? Conveniently, in the Bahamas, this was they followed the Canadian Electrical Code, which is what I'm used to working with regularly. So that was quite convenient, and so nothing new there. But then the next step was, as we just discussed, getting a sense of the energy needs and working with the client to put together and compile a list of appliances and pretty much everything for each respective system that is going to require electricity, and then add all that up to get a sense of what's the total power that's going to be required, as well as total energy on a daily basis in summer, and then estimating in between. So that took a fair bit of time because there's, again, we're starting from square one, and they had not even selected all of their appliances yet. So we're really, it's hard to get all that information. So, but we went through it and did that for all the buildings, as well as the central system, and then put together probably the largest spreadsheet and interconnected spreadsheets I've done to date, where all these values from the homes and buildings add up, so I can see, okay, solar generation from this building and this building, this building, this is how much what we can typically generate. Here's how much each of these is likely going to need. Here's going to be the access or the deficiency that can either be imported or exported to the grid for sharing. And then you juggle all of those pieces to find what is hopefully a satisfactory balance,
right?
To and minimize turning the generator on, because they still will have a backup generator, but the intent is to power everything 100% solar. But if there's some inclement days, then you need some backup power source, and but they just want to minimize that, because that's not part of the overall marketing and just the fundamental vision of the resort, is to, for it to be solar powered. But you do need to have these contingency plans, especially in you know, hurricane prone areas as well.
Well, and you also want this to go all go unnoticed to the guest. You know, you don't want any, all this is hidden behind the scenes, you know, a smooth experience for them.
Yeah, 100%. And so we talked about that. Do you want to be able to communicate with your guests that if the battery is getting low, to potentially
turn the light on tonight?
not so much the lights. Lights aren't too much an issue. It's like the AC. That's the primary one. But
a huge draw.
But they just resolved that, no, we don't want to have that conversation, although they're appealing to folks with this overall concept. So hopefully they are a bit more environmentally conscious and potentially willing to work with that. At the end of the day, yeah, you don't want them thinking about it. You want it to be seamless and all that stuff working in the background, and then they can just feel good about enjoying the beautiful Bahamas and feeling that everything is solar powered.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, can you explain to us about cycle life? You know, and that's where you need, I guess that's cycle life is where you take what you need from the battery. Can you explain that concept a little bit? Cycle life?
Sure. So that's essentially the life of the battery. So like almost anything, the more you use something, the more quickly it will degrade and then will require replacement. Same is true with batteries. And so to have a means to evaluate that or convey to customers, somebody buying the battery, how long this is going to last, they typically use cycle life. And so that's typically between 1,000 and 10,000 cycles. And what that means is, and sometimes you have to read the fine print because yeah. Some manufacturers will try to be sneaky about what one cycle actually is. But most commonly it refers to discharging and charging the battery 80% one time. So if a battery has a 6,000 cycle life, then supposedly if you charge and discharge that battery 6,000 times, 80%, then the battery is not going to be dead, but it will now have 80% capacity remaining. So initially, if you had 100% capacity, brand new battery, each time you use that battery, that capacity goes down ever so slightly. 6,000 cycles later, then you should have about 80% of the battery to work with remaining. So you still have a very usable battery there. But that's where the fine print is worthwhile looking at when people say cycle life. Are they referring to 80%, 70%, 60%? Yeah. What are the warranty conditions? But generally speaking, that's what it means. And so if you think about using a battery once per day, then a battery with 3,650 cycles, that should last 10 years.
Great. What's next for Alto Solar? What does the next year look like ahead?
Just more of this, more small local projects. I enjoy these small little off-grid projects as well as typical residential projects. That's what a lot of companies locally are focusing on. But definitely looking forward to taking this experience of doing a complete resort down the Bahamas and connecting with other developers and folks in that realm to do more projects like that. So I do enjoy the variety. That's one of the great things about being an entrepreneur. And I really do enjoy these variety of projects from big intensive engineering intensive ones to small, more hands-on ones, because I like to get off the computer and work with my hands. So I actually do get up on roofs and work with the tools. So I design, install everything. So just more of that. So just try to balance it in to achieve a happy balance with work and my personal enjoyment of the processes and, of course, with my family. But so, yeah, just keep doing more of the same and just trying to balance it all and juggle it all to stay happy as well as, do as much as I can to share and get this technology out there. Fortunately, there's lots of companies doing this, but at least it's nice to do my part and especially with my background to help get it out there a little bit more because have a bit more perhaps technical capability than some. So it's nice to have to see that being used, such as on projects like the Bahamas.
I have to thank you because I recently climbed Kilimanjaro, and they said that all along you're off the grid, you know, but yet you're taking a lot of photos with your mobile phone. You're taking a lot of video. You're in a cold environment, so your battery on your phone is going to die pretty quickly. So thanks to you, you gave me a solar, two-panel solar remote charging device where I could put it on the side of my tent or in the back of my backpack, and it kept me charged up the entire time, which is amazing because a lot of people said on Kilimanjaro a solar doesn't work very well, and in fact I was tickety boo. I was doing great. In fact, a lot of the guides and fellow climbers were borrowing my device to charge their devices. So thanks a lot, you know, for providing that to me, that off-grid power.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure. I'm glad it worked out for you. Glad we could turn the naysayers into believers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've heard that before. Another client as well, he was an avid biker in Europe and would often bike from, say, I don't know, Hungary or Austria all the way down to the Adriatic Sea. And he had bought solar panels to charge his phone, and they just didn't work. So he didn't believe it. So I gave him one. Just like, try it out. And he's like, oh, it works. I'm like, yeah, it works.
It does. It works. It works. High or low, it works. But thanks a lot for your time today, Tommy, and all the best in the year ahead.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I appreciate being here. And yeah, thanks for helping spread all these different ideas and possibilities for this, as you say, the reimagined energy future.
Thanks again, Tommy, for joining me today. And also thanks to you for listening in or watching. If you have any questions or comments, or even if you want to be a guest, just make sure you visit reimaginedenergy.com. A lot of the information is already on that website. And also, like I said, if you have any questions, want to be a guest, I'd love to hear from you. Special thanks to our friends at Smart Energy event that takes place in Halifax every April. And I am your host, Maria McGowan. We'll see you next time.